Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Damley. Thank you guys for coming back to another show. As the Colts get ready to head into Week 11 against the Tennessee Titans, a big AFC South matchup that the Colts really must win to get up to 500. And kind of really stake a claim in the AFC South as a legitimate contender. Coming into this game, you have to understand a few things about what the Colts have done. Obviously, we all know that, offensively especially, kind of what their defense is. We know this. However, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, you see, you know, their game last week, where they beat the New England Patriots. They've put some really good games together defensively. They've had some real stinkers offensively the last couple weeks. They put up some points. So we need to talk a little bit about what we have seen from them, and we're going to do that first and foremost by talking about what we saw against their in their Week 10 film against the Patriots. And, you know, honestly, with everything that we're going to talk about tonight on both sides of the ball, one of the main things that you see, especially defensively, and I think that you could say in a few spots offensively as well, is just absolute effort. So one way or another, you can look at the way that the Colts have bought into Frank Reich's system. Offensively, you can look at how they have, you know, taken Chris Ballard's approach to building the culture in Indy. And I think that, I would guess just by watching this last game now, that doesn't necessarily mean they've been like this all season, but you could definitely, I got the feeling watching this last game that that's kind of how Tennessee is right now. They've got a legit defense. Their offense is really struggling throughout, you know, season wide. But all in all, I think that these guys have really bought into what Vrabel has been, you know, feeding them. And so I think that that's a dangerous combination, regardless of, you know, kind of the all around, the whole roster wide skill, you know, when you look at it on both sides of the ball. So I think that's important to take into consideration. This game is in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium, so it will be a good game. I think that the Colts have a legit shot to win this game, but offensively they are going to have a real test against what I would say is probably one of the top 3 to 5 defenses overall in the league. Now, defensively, the Colts have been solid against the run, you know, all in all. And I think they're in the top 10 against the run at like 3.9 yards per play. And the Tennessee Titans are the same. They're right there with the Colts. But you've got to see that this defense has to make plays against this offense. Now, this offense has some solid playmakers. They've got some ability. But the defense has got to take the hold. So we're going to get into that film room here in just a few minutes. First, let's look at a little bit of the news today surrounding the Colts. So Thursday's injury report, there were several guys who did not practice on Wednesday. Clayton Gethers, Ryan Hewitt, Malik Hooker, Marlon Mack, Chris Milton, Mike Mitchell, Eric Swope, and Anthony Walker. None of them practiced. Now, Mack and Milton were not injury-related. But then you get to Thursday, and Gethers was back at full practice. Hewitt was limited. Malik Hooker still out. He's got an issue that, it seems like he's got an issue just about every week now. That sucks. I'm not trying to call him injury prone, but he's an important piece to this defense. And with his hip being an issue, that's a problem. So Marlon Mack and Chris Milton were full participants on Thursday. Mike Mitchell was limited. Eric Swope was still out. Anthony Walker was a full participant, so that's good. His is a neck issue. Nate Hairston, who was limited on Wednesday, did not practice. Quentin Nelson, Kamoko Ture, Denzel Good were all full participants. Larry Evan Clark is also not injury-related. He did not practice Thursday. And DJ Killings out with an ankle, but he was limited today on Thursday. So there are some legit issues with who the Colts have out, and that's that's not anything that the Colts really are wanting to see, you know, become the norm. The Colts really have to start being healthy right now as they get into, you know, the stretch of the season. Also, the Colts signed Jalen Collins, former second-round pick of the Falcons, to the practice squad, got rid of Philip Walker. He seems to be the piece that just kind of comes and goes as they sign and re-sign and all that stuff. Now, Jalen Collins has some real talent, and he's also got some real problems. So this is kind of the very low-risk, possible high-reward signing. Can he be a player, and can he get to the roster, and can he earn his stripes, so to speak, with Ballard and Reich and Eberflus in terms of, you know, proving that he is a keeper? I don't know that, but I like the signing because it does bring in some legit talent in the secondary, and the Colts could truly use it, to be quite honest with you. They've had a couple guys like Kenny Moore really show up. Quincy Wilson didn't look so hot last week. Didn't look terrible, I didn't think. A lot of people were really kind of busting on him. I didn't think he was all that bad. He didn't look great, though. And, you know, otherwise, though, they've got, you know, they could use an influx with, you know, like I said, real talent in that secondary, because they are kind of struggling in terms of what they have done with these zones that they get into, and they just don't really put the pressure on the receiver or the quarterback because they are wide open, it seems, all the time. They really rely on their playmaking ability, and it seems like Kenny Moore is really the only corner who is constantly challenging at the catch point. That's not necessarily true, but that's what it feels like. That's the one. That's the guy that you see constantly challenging for balls, and the Colts can't just have one guy doing that. So the Colts need, you know, more talent in the secondary for sure. I think that we are looking at a real turn of events when you look at what the Colts have in front of them. And I know you guys felt my excitement the other day kind of going through the rest of the schedule for the Colts. And I think that you have the right coach. You've got the right mindset throughout the roster, both on both sides of the ball for that matter. And you've got the ability. They've got, like I said, the Colts defense has some real issues. But all in all, it's really just get in and see what you can pull off. Because, I mean, look, we saw this when the Colts won the Super Bowl in 06. I mean, this was legitimately a defense that was bend, don't break, constantly giving up big plays, big yardage. And then you get them into the playoffs, and they were a completely different team. They weren't even a good run-stopping team, if I'm not mistaken, during the season. And they were killing the run. They were, you know, always in the play, always in the mix, making plays, causing turnovers. And then you've got Peyton Manning, of course, you know, so you've got a guy who is going to put points on the board for you all the time. I think that the Colts have a slight resemblance to that team. Now, they don't have anywhere near the experience. They don't have anywhere near, I don't think, even still, the chemistry that that team did. And they don't really have the big playmakers outside of a couple guys defensively. So that it doesn't resemble them completely. But I think that this defense has the ability, has the raw ability and the energy and the speed that you could reasonably see a nice uptick in gameplay if they put it all together. If by the time the playoffs roll around and the Colts are lucky enough to get in, then I think that you've got a possibility of a team who could really get something done. That's just my aspect. That's just my outlook. But, you know, not trying to be too glass half full type thing with these guys. That's just what it seems. You've got to love what Andrew Luck's doing with this offense. Frank Reich has this team really hitting on all cylinders right now, I think. And I think that's a good thing. Anytime you aren't relying on like T.Y. Hilton to get the job done offensively, I think that you're in good shape. Now, and again, I've talked about T.Y. a couple times. That's not a knock on him. I'm just saying you've got a guy at his size who is basically a take-the-top-off-the-defense type of receiver for the most part, and you're not relying on him to be the focal point for Andrew Luck. That's important. Andrew Luck's been spreading the ball out to everybody. Ebron's had a fantastic season so far. Luck really loves him. Doyle's become a big part of it. The running game has been a big part of it overall. I mean, so there's a lot of aspects offensively that are really clicking right now, and that's important. So I think that there's a lot to look forward to. Before we get into the kind of the film breakdown real quick, I want to tell you guys about TickPick. We've got a new promo code. Now, the last promo code was only good through November 30th. Now, this one has been updated. It is good through the end of the season because you guys have been buying tickets, apparently using it. They love it. We love it. Now we've got to deal with them throughout the rest of the season. Let's talk about it. Got a great deal for you guys with TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game, which would be a great game to go to, by the way, and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do, and if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seat you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. Save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for you guys, they're offering you this deal of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts. New promo code alert, SB Colts, as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer. Told you guys that before. If you've had the app and you haven't used it yet and you haven't used this promo code, you're good for it. Not only do I use TickPick, but I talk to these guys wanting to get the word out about this company because it was so stinking easy, and nobody likes to find the seats they want when they get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another app again for tickets. It's a very user-friendly app, and you get the same great tickets with lightning-quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick, and use the gift code SBColts. New promo code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this excellent offer today. 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees. Make sure you guys are going to TickPick. Support them. They're supporting us. Great company. Great deal for you guys there. So get your tickets for the Titans game and get $15 off anything over $100. Does not include delivery. So if you have another delivery service delivering them, that doesn't count towards your $99. The tickets themselves, the order, have to be more than $99, just so we're clear on that. So now, let's get into the Titans' Week 10 game film. Look at their offense. They're 29th in yards per play, 28th in points per game, but they are 10th in third down percentage. That's solid. But they're down the list, I think, in the early 20s in turnover differential at -1. So the Colts' defense has a team that they can turn over, that they can stop, that they can exploit. Here we go. Their offensive line in the run game can be effective. At the same time, it doesn't look like they're in sync very often. It's kind of a very sporadic. I mean, it just doesn't look like there's a whole lot of coherency going on with these guys. And it kind of looks that way in pass protection as well at times, not all the time. There's just there's not like that bubble around Mariota, like that clean pocket. Even if it gets, you know, beat by a defender or something like that, it just looks like a mess. You know, a lot of the times, at least it did this past Sunday. That's something that the Colts have to exploit. They have not had a good pass rush in the past several weeks. They've got to do something about that. Yes, the Titans have a solid offensive line in terms of talent and in results, honestly, but they've got to be able to get through to these guys because they've got some holes. Mariota outside of the pocket seems to kind of be the only way that he can get the ball downfield. With time, when he's in the pocket, he's constantly trying to let go of it. And it's not this quick pass offense that we see with the Colts that they've got. These are downfield routes, not necessarily long developing routes, but downfield routes. And he is just letting the ball loose. Most of the time when he does that, he overthrows his intended target. That's something that the Colts have to see on film. Get a little bit of pressure on him. He is going to release that ball. You've got to have help over the top. If you do, you're going to turn him over. Once the OL gets in sync, the running game can be very dangerous. Deion Lewis has that one cut ability. He's not electric in terms of his speed, but he's fast enough and he's quick enough and decisive enough to where he can really beat you for a lot of yards if the Colts don't swallow him up. They pull their tight ends a lot in the passing game. I didn't notice them pulling their guards even in run sets. So that's something a little bit new that you don't tip. I mean, I don't know that I can recall seeing a lot. I think a lot of people will pull, you know, they'll move a tight end in motion slightly to one side and then have them come over and kick out a defensive end or something like that. This is a legit pull from one side of the formation to the other. And it tends to be in the passing game to pick up kind of an outside edge, blitz or of some sort. So did not see a lot of guard pulling in their offense. So whatever that means, I think that basically that just means that the defenders need to know that they're straight up with these guys. The Colts need to be kind of unique and a little bit creative with what they're going to throw. They can't continue to do the same twists that they've been doing every week. Either they're not doing it effectively or teams are catching on. They've got to do something. If the Colts send a linebacker occasionally, they can vastly disrupt this run game as well as the passing game. I've told you guys about what Mariota does once he gets a little bit of pressure in his face. Once they get this backfield disrupted, Deion Lewis likes to dance in the backfield once he gets moved. Anytime you can get a guy in there to disrupt the running game, it's going to be good news. And that's basically what the Colts need to do. They've got to find an answer to getting somebody in the backfield quickly in the first 2 seconds of the play. They don't have to blitz a lot, but they do have to pick their spots and be able to go after some of what the Titans are going to put together, because they've got an interesting offense, but the Colts have to be able to find something to stop what they're doing, especially on early downs. Like I said, the Colts don't blitz much at all. In fact, I think they blitz the least amount in the league. So it'd have to be designed, a specific play intended to do that, as opposed to using it to rush the passer. Corey Davis looked pretty good against the Patriots. He's a big body dude. Looked good deep downfield, looked solid in intermediate route running, etc. So I think that they're going to have to keep a real close eye on him. They've, like I said, this offensive, it's got some weapons. And the Colts are going to have to, find a way to combat that for sure. Jonnu Smith. He can be dangerous after the catch too, but he's a big body dude. Tight end slash receiver. They'll line him up outside, and he's hard to bring down. He's going to be a task as well. So the Colts are going to have to be real physical up at the line of scrimmage. They're going to have to tackle well, much better than they did last week, in order to get, to keep this Titans offense grounded a little bit. I told you guys about Mariota liking to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and it's just kind of different. Like I said, it's not like what the Colts are doing. The offensive line, when they block, they like to leave cutback lanes for the running backs. Now, this seems it's almost like a teeter-totter. Now, if you sit on one side, it rises to the other, and that's kind of how this offensive line blocks. They like to do a lot of outside zone type running. They don't get physical in between the tackles all that much. Colts linebackers are going to be really important for this. Not only to shut off those cutback lanes, but they're going to have to be really good in pursuit in order to keep these running backs from being able to cut at all. They've got to be able to be on their P's and Q's if the Colts plan to do anything. The Titans really like to pick on the middle of the field against defenses. They did it a lot against the Patriots. I can imagine that their approach would be pretty similar against the Colts. The Colts are going to have to tighten up those zones. They're going to, because we've seen Mariota, and last year he didn't have a good year. I think the year before he didn't really have a great year either, but he is completely capable of throwing to an open receiver in a huge hole. I mean, anybody in the NFL who has a quarterback has that ability. The Colts cannot do that against these guys. They've got to tighten these up. They've got to sit their linebackers a little deeper, make them throw underneath, but also challenge them and continue to do that with, inside the second level. Henry can be a real problem if the Colts let him get started. He's a guy who really kind of relies on momentum, it looks like, with his running ability. He's powerful enough to run between the tackles. He doesn't love to do it. So I think that the Colts really have, I think Lewis is probably the more dangerous of the two, but, Henry is fully capable. And if he gets that momentum, he gets that confidence, he's going to be tough. And then the Colts are going to be dealing with two guys that they really, might struggle against. He's not the most decisive back that they've seen so far, but he is probably the biggest, most definitely. So the Colts defensively have a lot to deal with the Titans' offense, but I do think that the Colts' defense can win that battle without question. Now let's go to the Titans' defense. This is going to be the Colts and Andrew Luck and Frank Reich really trying to dissect what the Titans do. They're going to have to look at a lot of things, man. They've got Harold Landry coming off the edge, Jarrell Casey, lot of defenders. I mean, even the back end, with Vaccaro, Rashawn Evans at linebacker. I mean, they've got a lot of pieces, guys. Dory Jackson at corner. This defense is for real. So don't be expecting the Colts to throw up 30 points in the first half like they did against the Jaguars. The Jaguars are kind of a mess right now. Defensively, the Titans have been fairly consistent all year. They're tops in the league in allowing only 16.8 points per game. They're sixth in the league in yards allowed per game, and they're ninth in yards per play. So this team is the real deal defensively. So they're a really energetic bunch, especially when they get the momentum. They are I would almost call them an electric team. Once they get started, you have got to shut them up with a touchdown, because if you don't, this team is going to feed off of that, and that energy is contagious with these guys. They are all physical. They are all fast. Jarrell Casey busts through those lines so quick. The interior, the offensive line of the Colts really has their work cut out for them this week. The corners are physical at the line of scrimmage. The pass rush is a group effort. So you're going to see, several guys. You're going to see them coming off the edge. You're going to see them coming from the interior. It is a real group effort. So the Colts they're going to have their entire offensive line in sync. The running backs are going to have to protect, and the receivers are going to have to win at the line of scrimmage. This is going to be a tough game, a real tough game offensively. Their linebackers can run with the receivers. They don't need more than four to rush. They are going to bring pressure with just their four. The Colts are going to have to be very good not to turn the ball over. Andrew Luck is going to have to be on point and precise this week, because there's going to be seven guys in coverage. This is not going to be easy. And like I said, Adoree Jackson is the truth, guys. He closes in on short passes really fast, and he's a solid tackler, and he's really good in coverage downfield, and he's going to attack the ball at the high point. This is not going to be an easy game. Rashawn Evans is going to be hard to deal with in both aspects of the game. He is a really quick closer on the run game, and he is a guy who can rush the passer. So he is going to be somebody that the Colts are going to have to game plan for as well, in my opinion. Arakpo, man, this dude is old, 10 years in the league, and he is still so active and difficult to stop. He is an old-timer, and this guy looks like he's only a third- or fourth-year guy. If the Colts can run block like they had the previous three games to Week 10, they could have some good success against the Titans' front four. However, the Titans' second and third levels of their defense tackled really well against the Patriots. That is going to be an issue. Are the big plays going to come? I don't know. And I would even venture to say, at least on the ground, I don't think so. Because this is a really solid tackling back seven. The Colts have to, they're going to have to secure their first blocks at the line of scrimmage. They're going to have to get to that second level and do it effectively, the offensive line. Because the running backs, Marlon Mack's got some good speed. Nyheim Hines has some good speed. But they're going to need help. The Colts offensive line is going to have to get to the second level and give these guys a little boost if they expect to have any kind of an explosive play against this Titans defense. It's going to be a rough one, I'm telling you. It's going to be a fun game to watch, because you're going to have what we would call a top-level offense in the NFL, or darn close to it, against a legit top-five defense in the league all the way around, all three levels of the field, and in all aspects. So the Colts have a lot of work cut out for them this week, especially offensively. Their interior is going to be dealing with Jarrell Casey, Benny Logan. There's a lot of guys on this Titans defense that are going to be hell for the Colts this week. You want to see how good this Colts offensive line is. This is the perfect test for them, because I'm telling you, Jarrell Casey made a mess of the Patriots offensive line. He was through there so quickly, and he's not a small dude. He is absolutely explosive, though, and he is going to give the Colts a lot of trouble. He has in the past. Granted, it's a different offensive line. This is still a really, really tough dude to deal with. And when you got Benny Logan there, former Eagle, if I'm not mistaken, he's as tough as it gets, too. He's going to be in there around the nose, and it's going to be struggle, man. This is going to be a tough game, tough sledding for sure. They like to use Stalker, their tight end, in the backfield as a lead blocker as well. Now, he won't necessarily be the guy that they've got pulling all the time, but he will be a guy that they use as an H-back. All in all, this is, just top to bottom going. I should have put that in on the offense. I don't know why I have that down here on the defense, but I think that the Colts' real issue this week is Jarrell Casey. Jarrell Casey was popping on tape every single defensive snap. And Adoree Jackson was too. And then you've got that linebacking core where it's just like, well, pick your poison when you've got Arakpo, Evans, you've got Harold Landry coming off the edge. He's solid. This is a complete defense right now. And Andrew Luck and the offense have to be a complete offense or they're going to get rocked. And I mean, this could, if the Titans play anything like they played against the Patriots, they're going to have a lot of trouble because their offense was solid. They were making plays downfield. But their defense set up a lot of this. Their defense forced turnovers. Their defense stopped the run game. Their defense stopped anything that the Patriots were doing short and up front. So this is something, you know how Andrew Luck and Frank Reich like to get this thing started in the beginning of the game to set up the long ball or to set up some of the bigger plays. They're going to have to be creative with that because the Titans are going to be closing on them hard. And if they can't get some of these plays open for 4 or 5 yards at a time and they're getting hit at the line of scrimmage and driven back, it's going to be a real rough start to the game. This first quarter of this game could be the most important quarter that the Colts have played right now because if they don't get started quickly, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a rough game. That said, this Titans team, when you look at the matchups on both sides of the ball between the two teams, this is not any sort of a game where you say the Titans should win this hands down. This Colts team is a good team. I mean, they're not great. They're a good team, and they've got a lot of deficiencies, but they've got a lot of really strong aspects as well. So I think that you're going to see a really fun game this weekend. If I'm going to pick this game, I'm going to pick the Colts by a point. I'm talking like 2019. I mean, this is going to be rough. The Colts have to hold the Titans to field goals, and the Colts have to put some points on the board. I don't think they're going to get – I mean, the Colts are averaging 29 a game, and they've played some really tough defenses this year. But I don't know if the Colts are going to get up to that level against this Titans defense. There's some studs out there, and they play the pass really well. And like I said, those linebackers that can run with the receivers, they can. And then you've got guys closing in on the back end. You've got small windows there for Andrew Luck, and you've got a receiving core who has had issues with drops in the past. If they drop a ball back there, that is going to be a pick, and that is going to be bad news for the Colts because they cannot afford to lose possessions on stupid plays on mistakes. They just can't. They've got to be playing mistake-free football in terms of penalties. They've got to be mistake-free in terms of not allowing to turn the ball over, and they've got to find a run game. If they find a run game, I think this offense starts moving the ball pretty well. So there are a lot of things that are holding the Colts back, or that could hold the Colts back, I should say. But there are also, I'd say, fairly considerable avenues to the Colts really getting on fire as well, turning this defense into an average one like they've done a couple times to some other teams. So should be a good game. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a very, very close game in my opinion. So make sure you guys are watching this. Make sure you guys are using the TickPick app and SB Colts. Make sure you're using that as your gift code at checkout. It is worth it. It's a great company. Make sure you guys are doing that. Go to the podcast. Give us a rating and review. Always appreciate it. And as always, make sure you guys are going to Stampede Blue for all of your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. Thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.